Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool, we're recording. Hi guys, we're back again.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Black Girls, One White Girl We Love, and One Rose.
For two black ass girls and one white girl we truly appreciate, invade the whitest show on earth,
The Bachelor.
I'm Natasha.
I'm Justine.
And I'm Ashley Spivey.
Yay!
Yes, we are here with our homegirl, Ashley Spivey. She is back on the podcast. How you been, Ashley? What's new?
I've been good. I feel like this season has been quite a wild ride.
That, to say the least.
Yeah.
So many feelings, very conflicting thoughts.
Mm-hmm. As we said yesterday, lots of records broken.
Mm-hmm. Not for the right reasons,
nope.
Though. Four girls going home, that's definitely a record. All right, Colton. So before we jump into the recap on Woman Tell All, which was also a doozy in itself, we just wanted to hear your thoughts on the season so far. One thing that Justine and I have been talking about, I mean, pretty much throughout our entire season of recapping this season is just being annoyed by how young the contestants are. And it just feels different. Like, we, you know, Becca M really started the trend of, like, young 22-year-olds going on the show. But Becca M, she's, you know, wise beyond her years. She's mature. She's, like, literally married with a baby right now. And then this season we have, like, the Heather, the Cassies, the Hannah B and G, all these very young-feeling 23-year-olds who, to me, feel like they're playing house. Like, I can't take it seriously when they're saying they're looking for a husband. What's been your opinion on, like, the age of the contestants this season?
Well, you know, it's so funny because I really did defend Becca M a lot because on my season, we had someone who was very young, but who didn't seem that young, and that was Emily Maynard.
Mm. Oh, so, wow.
Oh, shit. How old was she when she was filming?
Yeah, I want to say she was 23 when we were filming, and she turned 24 while the show was airing.
Wow.
So okay. I think they didn't show her age until she actually turned 24, which I always thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
So, but when you measure up Emily or even Becca M against these girls, it doesn't even seem like they're the same age at all.
Yeah.
And I really feel like there must have been very obvious front runners from the very beginning, and I think that's why so many girls aren't necessarily focusing on Colton, and instead they're really like going after each other because you don't see this much discord between the girls ever.
It's
usually because like people figure out that they don't really like The Bachelor, and then they just focus on making friends with other girls in the house.
Right.
But I think in this instance, for some reason, they all really just kind of, like, rallied against each other. And so it's disappointing. I feel like one thing I always really love on the seasons is seeing the friendships between the girls. I feel like that hasn't been as big of a focus this season.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they did mention how Cassie was someone that he always kind of like had eyes for, mm-hmm. and like all the girls kind of noticed it. So I think it's a good point that you said maybe they noticed that there were some clear front runners, and so that's when the cattiness like really came out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't see any, like, sweet little friendships this season at all.
Especially because the young girls had such a young mentality. Mm. And the girls who were even 3 years older than them, like, gave up their whole life to be there and are with these girls who feel like they're in a sorority house.
Right.
So, like, they're wasting their time.
Yeah. There's no budding friendship between Elise and, like, Heather.
Demi. Oh, my God. Heather. Oh, my God.
No. Oh, God.
So, we talked about this in detail in yesterday's episode, the fence jumping episode, infamous fence jump. But do you think Colton should have been the Bachelor? And, like, was he ready to actually be the Bachelor?
I think that he probably went into it just thinking, why not? You know, like, mm-hmm. I don't think he's 100% ready to get married, mm-mm. but I think that he is searching for someone to reciprocate his love or love him like how he loves someone else. Mm-hmm. And I think that was kind of evident by him shaking whenever he was kind of going through that with Cassie.
Yeah.
Like, that was so heartbreaking to me because, like, I've definitely been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And I always hate when that happens because then someone else knows that they're, like, really affecting you and you want to stop it.
Mm-hmm. You can't control it.
No.
Right. So, like, even if you aren't crying, you're, like, giving yourself away by shaking like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with him trying to comfort her by being like, listen, we don't have to get engaged. We can just continue to date. I almost feel like he's totally fine with that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. We've said a couple of times on the show that Colton has wanted to eliminate himself a few times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it looks like. Like, when you're watching him on the show, do you feel that as well?
Yeah, for sure. And even in talking to, like, I'm friends with some people who have been The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. I don't think people realize how emotionally draining it is to be the lead on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, half the time, you don't feel like going on the dates. You're tired.
Yeah.
You're not getting to eat, like, the food you want to eat. You're not getting to exercise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, and then you also have to act like you like people that you don't like.
Yeah, that's exhausting. That is exhausting.
Exactly.
And you have to be on, like, turned on mm-hmm. all the time. Even when you're having a bad day, you can't go on the date being shitty. Like,
right.
You have to be
no, exactly.
on. And that within itself is just exhausting. Mm-hmm. And there's cameras on you, and there's producers tugging at you. It's like, yeah, I feel for them.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't be a difficult lead because then you'll end up getting, like, Juan Pablo's Evan.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my Lord.
That's so true.
So you talked a little bit about the forced engagement at the end of the show, and we had an epiphany yesterday that the forced engagement does create a lot of drama. It forced Ari into proposing to the wrong person. It is terrifying Colton and terrifying Cassie right now. And as viewers, we definitely find it to be unnecessary, but it is necessary to create some of this drama. So do you think there's something that they could replace that engagement with and still get the ratings that they do now?
Unless they just did a complete revamp of the show,
mm-hmm.
I don't see how the show can still exist if they don't get rid of it, or if they do get rid of it, just because I feel like that's what everyone is tuning in for. Even though it seems like so unrealistic,
mm-hmm.
people still want that fairy tale
damn.
Ending for some reason.
Engagement at the end, Jesus.
Right, and it's so funny too, because like, the odds are against them. Like,
yeah.
Most people don't end up together, but
no.
for some reason, like, people continuously suspend their disbelief watching this show year after year and season after season.
Mm-hmm. It's so strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we're just locked into the fairy tale. We know this is bullshit. Like, we don't know this makes sense, but yeah,
exactly.
We expect it.
You know what's even crazy, too, is I want to say in the first, like, six seasons of The Bachelor,
mm-hmm.
six seasons, maybe five or six seasons, a lot of them did not propose.
I feel like that That's true.
Really?
In the beginning, it was kind of like, we'll commit to each other and, like, go our separate, like, go off like, together.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as...
Yeah.
I feel like the forced proposal came in somewhere halfway through the franchise.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But it's interesting to me, too, because there are two Bachelor producers who made the show Dating Around on Netflix, which I don't know if y'all have watched that
yet.
Oh,
no,
I watched
not yet.
One episode. Yeah, it was interesting.
And I feel like that just shows you, I mean, they're just going on one date, and I still thought it was really compelling TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are things they can do. And I had this Twitter thread today where I was saying, I feel like one thing that they could do is maybe cut the contestants in half, like have 15 girls going on
mm-hmm.
or 12 girls.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Bachelor gets to go on more dates with people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I like that idea.
I think that would help.
Yeah. And no one wants to watch a group date.
No.
Like, no, they
the
suck.
They suck. The girls don't like going on them. As viewers, we're just waiting for the one-on-ones. So
yep.
I think that's a really good idea. Chop it in half and let's get more like one-on-ones or even two-on-ones mm-hmm. or like more intimate dates. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I'm even fine if they up the two-on-ones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great television. Mm-hmm. Do a couple right. two-on-one. We didn't even get a two-on-one this season, actually.
No, we just got a four-on-one.
Yeah.
Lord. Yeah. So another thing that this season has definitely illuminated is how the integrity of the show is just slowly eroding. We had Cassie and Kaylin, like, both of their characters have come into question. Tasia, some mess came out about her dating somebody up until the show. Sydney, Demi, and Katie all gave Colton, like, these ominous warnings of people not being ready. It really makes taking the show, which is already hard to take seriously... It makes it that much harder to take seriously when half the girls in the house, their intentions have been questioned.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of all of this, and where does the show go from here?
I do think that now with social media the way that it is,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to go on the show and not think about the other opportunities that the show is going to create for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be... you know, increasing your Instagram followers and getting sponsored posts, mm-hmm. or whether it's becoming Bachelorette, or if it's going on Bachelor in Paradise, or even, I mean, now you can go on, like, X on the Beach for MTV, you know, like, the possibilities are endless, it just seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So now I feel like people are no longer going on with the intentions of necessarily being in a relationship. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, there's other things that they can do.
Right.
So, yeah. I feel like no one's there for the right reasons anymore. But I think it's also been like this for a while.
Mm. Yeah, we said, like... It's kind of stupid to go on without some type of ulterior motive, because the chances of you winning at the end are so slim, so you have to have something. But I don't know what they can... do either through casting or if they can like feed into the Instagram social media influencer thing on the show. It's like it's almost as if they're trying to pretend like this doesn't happen, like all the girls are here for the right reasons.
Right.
When it's not, I mean, we just saw two front runners, Cassie and Kaylin, both of them were in a scandal of being talking about The Bachelor on the show. So it's like, how do they get ahead of that stuff? I don't, because it's inevitable. Yeah. Everyone knows that these girls go on for other things.
Yeah, I feel like they have to change the narrative of the right reasons.
Yeah, or just get rid of that.
There's so many, as Ashley said, there's so many more opportunities now to find work from the show.
Yeah.
So I think going on the show with ulterior motives, aside from marrying who you just met, is not wrong.
Not
I don't
right.
find anything wrong with it, but I think there are some people who, I don't know, are fans of the show, I don't know, who find that to be something wrong. I don't think they should, I think they should shift the narrative of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not make it so
I also think, like, you can't really get mad at the contestants for wanting to get all the followers on Instagram and then do sponsored posts because you don't get paid anything on the show.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Trying to get
and
some back pay.
You probably left a great job to go on the show.
Uh-huh.
So it's almost like that's kind of ABC letting you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, another thing I want to bring up about just like social media and the show, is that I find them now picking more and more influencers, people who are already influencers, to go on the show. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they do that, or why I think they're doing that, is because these people, if they're using their social media for business purposes, aren't going to have anything bad in their social media.
Mm. Oh, true.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So that's just another thing for people to think about before they go on. Mm-hmm. Is if you want to be picked, you really have to clean up your social media.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Like they, because this season we had, I mean, Hannah G came in with like
hundreds of thousands,
tons of followers already. Kaylin and Hannah B are both public figures, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Cassie already had a lot.
Cassie had a lot already.
Yep.
That's true. This was a different kind of, girls came in already with, like, foundational. Mm-hmm.
It's also phenomenal free promo
for The Bachelor. For sure.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Interesting. So now, Ashley, your homeboy, Reality Steve, announced that Hannah B. is allegedly the Bachelorette. I'm still calling this a rumor because I cannot just even believe this. Mm-mm. But what are your thoughts? What can you say? What do you know?
Please. I want to say that ABC or like the show's Instagram tonight actually included her, like a picture of her toasting, and it said second time's a charm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Like with a winky face.
They did?
Yeah.
So they didn't say Hannah B. Bachelorette, but they kind of confirmed it in some little way.
They hinted it, yeah.
Kind of.
Oh, God. I can't.
I mean, there's always a chance that they could take it away from her. Like, they shot Kayla's intro to be the Bachelorette and then took it away from her to have
Was that JoJo?
I can't even remember.
Was that JoJo?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also, the thing that worries me about Hannah B. Is that I really feel like a lot of people, even from the beginning of this season, before it was released, who was going to be, like, the winner, I feel like people thought that Kaylin, Cassie, or Hannah G. were going to be Bachelorette. And that's who the guys have thought is going to be Bachelorette. And I feel like they're setting her up for kind of the same season that Ashley Rosenbaum got, where everyone thought it was going to be Emily Maynard, but it was Ashley. And they played on her insecurity the whole season.
Oh my God. What?
Jesus. Ashley, she's the one who chose JP and then?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, they kind of did her dirty because they casted a guy who did not give a two shits about her and was talking shit about her in the confessional all the time.
What?
And then he sent himself home.
Oh my God, yeah, the nerve.
Wild. It was wild, yeah.
What?
Definitely the most fucked up season of The Bachelorette ever.
Yeah, they made her look real dumb. Damn, if it's Hannah B, they're gonna clown the shit. She's already not the brightest star in the galaxy, and they're just gonna run with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, I wrote down some quotes.
That's just the vibe I'm getting, but hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm praying to the Lord's above that she is not the Bachelorette, because we already said we are not recapping that season.
No.
I refuse to
watch
that.
There's no way to even do it. Who would be invited to any cookouts? Who would be, like, we can't. We can't do it.
So, I'm waiting for the official announcement, but until then, it's not looking good.
Who do y'all want to be Bachelorette?
So, I personally don't think anybody from this season should be the Bachelorette. I mean, maybe Elise.
Yeah, definitely Elise.
But I don't think she has the... we still know enough about her. I don't know if she can carry a full season. She also seems completely done with everybody. So.
She does. Yeah, she doesn't have, like, the clout.
Yeah, but somebody that we discussed on last night's episode, who I think would be great, if they wanted to dig up somebody from the past, Annalise. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think she would give good television.
Great TV.
I mean, they would clown the shit out of her, but
they'd give us a good season. It would be so good.
And she has the backstory for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She has the backstory. She was hurt on Paradise. She had her whole moment on stage with Kaleem.
No, Kareem, not even.
Something. Who tried to play her out, and she got her redeeming moment. Like, she has a bit of of a story. I don't know why she's not in the mix.
Yeah.
I saw some people were saying her or Christina or Danielle M.
Yeah. I feel like
all that stuff happened.
Christina and Danielle M, their names have always kind of like floated around, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Justine's like,
I don't even know who those people are.
Christina was, oh no, you didn't watch Bachelor in Paradise with Dean. Dean was in the love triangle.
Oh, shit, yeah, okay.
She was the, like, the main one that everybody loved, and then he played her out.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, we'll wait and see when it's official.
Oh my God.
Lord have mercy. all right, let's dive into this recap of Woman Tell All. Are you ready, Ashley?
I'm ready. All
right. So Chris Harrison, he opens up, he introduces all the ladies, and literally everyone was allowed to come this year.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, usually they just have like the main girls, but they had girls who went home on night one were sitting up there. There was one girl named Jane, she had a lot to say, and I literally have never seen that girl in my life.
We literally looked at each other, we were like, who is Jane?
That's always my favorite person. Yes.
The random from night one who just has so much tea to spill suddenly. Yeah. It's like, you weren't here for nothing. Like,
exactly.
I can't. But you said you noticed somebody who wasn't there.
Yeah, so someone who wasn't there was Elise.
So supposedly she had a wedding that she had to go to, and that's why she missed it.
Okay. Had a wedding?
Yeah.
Watch me skip a wedding to be on TV. What? Get my bachelorette bid.
Right.
Are you serious?
I think maybe it was a good move to miss this one, though, honestly.
Yeah, this one was pretty. It was focusing on the youthful.
The children. Kicking and screaming. Exactly. So Chris Harrison jumps into they show a whole recap of the, like, a history of terrible breakups. So we saw Molly and Jason Mesnick. Ali Fedakowski, I think is her name, and I totally forgot on that season there was a guy, same thing, who was like a front runner who, like, towards the end revealed he was still in love with his, like, ex and left the show. So
Frank.
So this is not the first time. We also watched Desiree and Brooks. That was an infamous moment. Ooh. Everyone loved Brooks. Desiree was literally in love with Brooks, and then he went home on, like, the 11th hour. Jake in Vienna. Jake was a sociopath and one of the weirdest guys ever.
Oh my God.
He ended up going on like seven other reality shows after The Bachelor.
Oh my God.
He was a weirdo.
Yeah. He sucks.
He really sucks.
Yeah.
Chris Soules and Ashley I, her tearful breakup. And then they just had a whole montage of just. It was literally a montage of women having panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
It was very disturbing.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, it was too much.
They, like, tried to sprinkle in some guys from, like, Bachelorette having, like, moments. But, yeah, I don't know. It was just a lot of women crying and, like, hyperventilating.
Yeah, I don't know why this was necessary.
I don't know either. Ashley, on your season, was there any tough breakups or women who sent themselves home or anything like that?
There was one girl who sent herself home, and her name was Madison, and she was the girl who wore the vampire teeth.
Oh, God, I don't remember that.
The vampire teeth.
She's actually a super lovely person, and she was in, like, The Wolf of Wall Street, and, God, that other movie that was with Jessica Chastain where she was, like, a poker player. Or had all those poker parties. I don't know if y'all ever seen it. But hers wasn't, like, tearful at all. Like, I think she just wanted to go on just for, like, something fun to do.
Okay.
I had, like, a very tearful elimination.
Mm-hmm.
They showed me crying for, like, 20 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you went home on the standard, like, rose ceremony?
I went home on a 2-on-1.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and it was with my best friend in the house, Ashley.
Oh, and you're both named Ashley? Damn.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Were you referred to as Ashley S?
Yes.
Okay. So.
Right, which there's another Ashley S, the Onion Ashley S.
Onion?
What in the world?
She was on Chris Soules' season, and she was the one who was, like, picking onions off a tree or something, or maybe it was, like, pomegranates, but she thought it was onion. It was, like, really weird. She was one of the, like, weirdest contestants ever. So, like, people confuse us all the time. Oh. I'm like, no, I'm the crying Ashley. No, okay. I'm like, Onion Ashley.
Oh, my God. That's rough. Damn, 2-on-1. That's rough.
Yeah.
That's really rough.
Yeah. But they showed the other girl, actually, who was Brad's runner-up, crying in the car tonight. Her name was Chantel.
Okay. Oh, yes. I remember her. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's rough out here.
Mm-hmm.
So when they return from the commercial break, we get a full recap of all the drama on Colton season. So it was kind of like going down memory lane.
Mm-hmm.
We had Bend and Snap. What's her name?
Catherine.
Catherine. who was stealing time. She stole time four different times.
On night one.
That was amazing. We had Onyeka just being nuts.
Being a mess.
The whole Ashley B. Kaylin pageant girl drama, which was fun to watch because they were seated like next to each other on the stage. Mm-hmm. So that was awkward. We had Katie's warning to Colton before she left. And then Kirpa and Tasia subsequently spilling all the tea on Asia. Oof. On Cassie.
Oh, I was like, who are you talking about?
Who, Asia? I wish there was an Asia on there.
Did you watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
Right?
No, I don't. There's Asia on there? Damn, she's coming here.
There was a couple of seasons ago.
Okay. Spilling the tea on Cassie and Kaylin. We saw the Nicole Onyeka drama. We saw all of Demi's shenanigans, including her drama with Tracy, who she said needs to go to a senior citizen home. I missed that one. And then her drama with Courtney.
Courtney, yeah.
So when they get back to the stage, Bend and Snap, Catherine, you know, she had to address her interruptions, and she said, you know, I stopped my life to come on the show, and so I wanted to do what I had to do. And the girls did not like that.
Mm-mm.
Everybody gave up stuff in their life. You ain't special.
Right, yeah. And she's a 26-year-old DJ.
I also saw that she had not ever seen the show before. So she didn't know that was a bad thing to do.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Who are these people who go on the show and do not watch?
And don't watch
it. I do not understand that.
I don't get it.
You are going on a national television show, a show that has been around for 20-odd years. There are multiple seasons that you can go online and stream, and you didn't watch none of it? That is wild.
You have to do your homework before you go on a reality show.
Any reality show.
You have to see how the hell they're going to edit your life and shit.
Yeah, because you need strategic planning.
Yeah, of course. It's a competition show.
Right.
Jeez, that's wild. So the first drama that they dig into is Onyeka and Nicole. So Nicole, she's been clowned all season for being super emotional. She can cry at the drop of a dime. And she is literally already emotional on stage as she recaps her drama with Onyeka. She says that she was bullied and Onyeka made her feel belittled and ostracized. But what was surprising was a bunch of girls rushed to Onyeka's defense and then started accusing Nicole of being the one to be the one who was saying like mean things about girls around the house. And they're mentioning stuff that we didn't see on camera, really, because they really edited Nicole to be, like, just, like, sweet and emotional.
Yeah, just like a dandelion.
Yeah. And then pretty much that whole segment, they were just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
And the whole stage was going back and forth.
Yeah, you really couldn't hear anything.
Nope.
It was like the season, just what we watch of girls just being catty, all wrapped into this one little segment. One thing I thought was interesting, so, like, the word bully and claiming to be bullied, I feel like has been, like, a buzzword for the last, like, 5 years or so. And it's definitely not something you can use lightly. What do you guys think? Was Onyeka bullying Nicole? It's a tough one.
It is. Ashley, do you want to go?
I feel like they have very different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Nicole really took offense to her always talking over her and stuff like that. And maybe kind of always discounting her emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so she really felt bullied, I guess, by those actions. Mm-hmm. But if we don't get to see, like, so much of what's going on in the house, mm-hmm. I don't know. Just because you never know what the edit is like. And tonight, a lot of girls did say that Nicole was saying bad things about the other girls. Mm-hmm. But then I also feel like, from tonight, I don't know who didn't say a bad word about other people in the house.
Right. Everyone's pointing fingers, mm-hmm. and y'all all are terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And then part of me is also, like, Nicole is another person who is pretty, like, political with her Twitter and uses it for activism. So, like, I almost am just, like, hesitant to, like, feel badly about her just because, mm-hmm. like, we need more people like her.
Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah.
Sure, I didn't even notice that. So, yeah, we're Nicole fans now.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
True. I think that after seeing Nicole's reel when she was in the hot seat, I didn't know how often she was really crying.
Yeah.
Like, she was really crying all the time.
Yeah.
And that's when we saw why Onyeka came up with that theory of her being mentally unstable. Because I was like, it seemed like she pulled it out of her ass. Like, it seemed like it was out of nowhere. Mm. And Onyeka seems like that kind of, like, tell it how she sees it type of girl, mm-hmm. but not how it actually is. Mm. And Nicole doesn't seem to have this sort of defense to go up over that. But I don't think she was bullying her, because I think that Nicole probably knows how emotional she is and how she can manipulate people by her, people feeling bad for her.
Mm, her emotions.
Which is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she's trying to turn negative into a positive. Like,
yeah.
So that's fine, but I don't think she was bullying her. I think that's a strong word.
Yeah, I think Onyeka's loud, and she just talks over people. I mean, I think it's as simple as that. Nicole's probably a little bit more soft-spoken. Mm-hmm. She's crying all the damn time. Mm-hmm. She's trying to get, you know, collect her thoughts and say what she wants to say. But Onyeka's mm-hmm. somebody who just comes with it quick mm-hmm. and has a lot to say and is loud. So she's just going to speak over you. Bullying, I don't know, because we don't know everything that's happening in the house. But it was really interesting to see, like, mad people come to Onyeka's defense.
Very.
So it does kind of make you side-eye Nicole a little bit and kind of side-eye her using this bully term. So, I don't know.
This is one thing they do before the women's hall or the men's hall, too, mm-hmm. is that some people will be in a room by themselves. Mm-hmm. Some people will be in a room with, like, 2 to 3 people, mm. and then some people will be with a large group of people, mm. and they do that because they want a lot of people to kind of feel the same way about things, especially if there's going to be an argument.
Right.
Okay. Huh, that's so interesting.
I bet all those people were in the same room together.
Yeah.
Yep, same room with Onyeka, and they were recapping, like, I know they're going to talk about the drama with Nicole. What do y'all think? And then they all just, like, came up with a collective answer. Yo, that's wild. Damn, that's why we bring you on the podcast, Ashley.
Yeah, the behind the scenes.
Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense, though. So the next kind of segment they talked about was, you know, all these warnings that Colton was receiving from ladies as they went home, from Katie, from Sydney, from Demi, about people in the house not being there for the right reasons. And so they, you know, Chris Harrison asked Katie, like, what was up with, you know, your departure and what you said. And she said, there are things I heard and actions I saw that didn't seem to match up with what Colton wanted. Now, Kaylin's response to that was she was mad at Katie because Katie didn't name any names. She kept it very vague. And because she did that, it essentially made...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah. I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Colton questioned every relationship. Yeah, threatened everybody. Yeah, threatened everybody's relationship. But Katie finally came clean and said the names that she was talking about, and she confirmed that she was indeed talking about Kaylin and Cassie. And she confirmed that that conversation about being the bachelorette did happen on a bus from the airport in Singapore. Kaylin now gave her version of events and said she claims that... So this is what was funny, because when Kaylin was on the show, she was denying up and down that...
The whole thing.
She denied that none of this happened.
Yeah.
None of this came out of my mouth. This conversation never even happened. Then when she's on stage, she says, okay, there was a conversation. This is how it happened. Mm-hmm. So now you're already looking fishy. So she claims that she said, they're on the bus. She said to Cassie, you know, if it's me at the end, if I win this, I want you to be bachelorette so you can find your love too. That's what she says, what the conversation was. Then Kaylin went on to say that she recently spoke on the phone with Katie, and Katie confirmed on the phone that that's how the conversation went down. Now, at that point, Katie was just livid.
Literally, like a teapot that was just
livid.
Burst. Like she
right.
was done.
And you could tell she was pissed because Kaylin was lying on her ass right then
yeah.
and there.
Yeah.
And Katie said that's the manipulation that Hannah B was talking about. Ooh. When it comes to Kaylin, because that is a lie.
Yeah.
Kaylin's lying.
Yeah,
Kaylin's lying.
Yeah.
I 100% believe Katie.
Yeah.
I don't think she has any reason to make this shit up. Mm-mm. She knows she's not going to be bachelorette, so... And she was going home in that moment. What What is her motive for coming up with this story, fabricating this
right.
story?
And Ashley, you said something really interesting on Twitter about how the bachelorette conversation just comes up anyway, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and I think that's why I wish Kaylin would have just owned up to
yes.
it.
Yeah.
From
yes.
the beginning.
Yeah.
Because everyone talks about it.
Of course.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, we talked about it multiple times in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because someone is going to end up being the bachelorette from the season.
Right.
Like, if it didn't come up, I think that would be weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
So, I think in this situation, Kaylin shouldn't have lied.
Nope.
They shouldn't have been talking about it near their enemies.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't
right.
want
smart
them
about
to
this.
Even have that conversation.
Right.
And then, two, I feel like it was just kind of overblown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's
yeah.
no way
yeah.
that Katie and them didn't talk about being bachelorette, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, this whole situation just frustrates me.
Yeah,
I think it was a launching pad, I guess, for what Katie was alluding to, which is that Kaylin and Cassie just want to go to clubs and slide into other people's DMs.
Right.
Right, that was like the important part of the,
yeah,
the conversation.
Yeah, which I guess they can't. That's kind of breaking the fourth wall if they say that on camera.
Right, talking about,
like, other things outside of the franchise, yeah. I guess, like, the other benefits would be, like, too much.
Mm-hmm.
But that was really, I think, the tipping point for Katie,
mm-hmm.
and why she said something.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
And Kaylin and Cassie just handled the whole thing wrong. Just own up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did have a conversation with Bachelor and at Bachelor and what?
Yeah.
This is how it
went. Right.
And that's it. But yeah. The fact that they denied up and down and around the corner that this never happened made them look super suspect.
Cassie said something that did kind of confirm that she did say that. Because remember when she was talking to Kaylin, she was like, oh, well, I wonder how my words got twisted around.
Mm-hmm. She did.
And it was like, she knows exactly what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that they could have said that, even that.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, my words got twisted. We did talk about The Bachelor. We all do. And what? And my words got twisted. Like, that's all they had to say.
Yeah.
But now
I know. Why didn't they just do that?
No idea.
I don't know.
No clue.
Ugh.
Anyways.
Also, I just want to point out Katie's makeup was the best on the stage.
Oh, my God. I was going to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Katie, yeah, she looked great.
She looked so good.
Yeah. So the next person we discussed was Demi. Good old Demi.
The best.
We, Justine and I are Demi fans. I don't know, where do you stand, Ashley?
I love her.
Okay. Good. We love this some Demi. She know damn well she ain't looking for a husband.
No.
She gave some good television and had a good time. I mean, she had the best time.
Yeah, and she's still having a good time.
Still having a great time.
Mm-hmm.
So Demi, you know, we recapped the whole Cougar Club, you know, mm-hmm. Tracy, her clowning Tracy for being quote unquote old. Then Courtney and Demi,
the
two of them, they just went at it,
mm-hmm.
like just cat and dog, I guess.
Yeah.
Courtney doesn't have a leg to stand on.
No.
Demi is.
She doesn't have a toe to stand on.
She doesn't have a toe to stand on. That pinky toe is out. Demi is quick with it.
Yep.
She got quips for days.
Uh-huh.
Courtney, she doesn't bring
anything. No, she doesn't bring anything. She got a terrible edit.
Mm-hmm.
So she has, and she keeps talking about this immaturity that we all know about.
We already know about Demi's immaturity. Enough.
And we just embrace it.
We embraced it.
There's no good qualities about Courtney that we're embracing and loving.
Yeah. Demi said, quote, it's 2019 and you still haven't talked to Colton.
Mm.
Demi also said, you were more like bed bugs. I forgot you were there, then suddenly you appeared.
That was hysterical.
She came with it. So they're going back and forth, just looking like two dummies, arguing, screeching on top of each other. Then suddenly, Courtney got up out her seat and started charging towards Demi.
Charging?
Shuffling.
Shuffling. She looked like her Spanx were like two sizes too small, and she was like shifting.
Her pants, she had like a pencil skirt.
Yeah, it was like a midi dress. It
midi
was like
dress,
way too tight.
Hard to move in, so she was attempting to charge towards Demi. And then, like, shoved a pacifier in her mouth.
Yeah, tried to shove a pacifier in her mouth.
I, like, missed what that was, but... What is she trying? Is she really trying to get knocked out?
Yeah. Yeah. She is.
She's really trying to fight. That was so unnecessary. And she's just trying. She's trying to redeem herself because she got a terrible edit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible edit. And, yeah.
So the thing is about these viral moments that people are attempting to create off of, like, disingenuous emotion. Like, Courtney, we all know you're not that mad to the point where you would, like, damn near physically assault this girl.
Right.
We know you haven't fought in your life. You look like it.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you trying to create this moment that it's not going to work? It's not going to work. Colton already jumped a fence. That's the moment of the season. That's it. You lost.
Yeah.
Just sit down and lose. Like,
yeah. Trying to milk them 15 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Clock is ticking.
I wish she would have... Like, there's no way that she thought... she was going to, like, come out on top of this whole situation just because I feel like even on Twitter, people were so much more pro-Demi than pro-Courtney, like, when they actually got on the argument in the show.
Right.
So I almost wish she would, like, I thought it would be funnier if she went on there and she was just like, I don't even care about Demi. Like, I'm sorry I, like, wasted that much time. And, like, what if she, like, gave her the pacifier, like, in a present? And, like, she didn't waste all that time, like, feeding into more of a narrative of, like, being aggressive or, like, always arguing or something like that, and created a new one for herself. Because when she didn't get lots of applause during the introduction, that's when I would have changed my strategy.
My whole strategy. My whole strategy. I cannot come out here wrong and strong. These people are not going to clap for me.
Nope.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just, and, like, listen, she has this food blog.
Yeah.
And she's always making food that looks delicious. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm rooting for her. I just think she's got to not listen to producers.
And she talks a lot about Demi's immaturity, but this is a demonstration of her own lack of maturity.
Right.
So, hope she learns from this.
I hope so, too.
Do not go to Paradise, Courtney.
Do not. Oh, Lord.
Do not go.
That's not going to be good for her. So Demi, they put Demi in the hot seat. We got to watch all of Demi's moments, including Demi, unfortunately, telling Colton that she was falling in love with him, and he responded with, I appreciate that, and
that
I'm gonna need
standard.
You to leave right now.
I appreciate that.
That's where
you know you're
that.
Going.
And the SUV's out front, so, don't let the door hit you. So Chris Harrison talked about her being blindsided and going home, and she said that she just really wanted to show Colton, like, her serious side. My issue with this, love Demi, but you can't be the gimmick, the house clown for 4 weeks and then suddenly try to declare your love.
Yep.
It's not gonna work.
Yep.
Never works.
Agree.
Yeah.
She was like Becca's Jordan. That's what she reminded me of.
Jordan, the gold shorts.
Gold underwear.
Yeah.
She was much more fun and much nicer to watch. I'm so excited to have her on Paradise because I know she's going. But she was kind of like that. Like the gimmick that kind of lasted a little too long
little
and
too
like
long.
Was there for the, and then tried to be serious. Yeah, he tried to be serious.
And then he went home that same episode.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. She's another one that needed to watch. Come on, guys. Do your research.
Right?
Oh, my God. God. Who else? Next, we had Nicole in the hot seat. We recap all her crying moments. We learned that her mother's a psychiatrist. I feel like that told me a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. She grew up very, like, in touch with emotions.
Yeah, she talks about her feelings a lot.
Talks about her feelings a lot. It's okay to cry. Cry, get it out. So, we got that out of her. She did say that she's Latin, and so this is a part of her. And then Chris Harrison brought up the whole, where's your fiery side?
Where's your feisty
side? All that shit
side.
Really annoys
so
the shit out of
me. Tired of that I narrative!
I know. Yeah. I don't know.
Typical Chris Harrison.
Typical Chris Harrison.
Yep.
And then, just suddenly they awarded Nicole with a year supply of Halo Top, which is, like, very
so
random product placement. I don't know.
They didn't even,
I kind of took offense to that because it was like, oh, she's emotional. She's an emotional eater.
Is that what they were getting at? Because they just transitioned into ice cream, and I was like, was she eating a lot of ice cream?
I think they're playing off of the whole, you know, when a woman, like in a movie, she breaks up with her boyfriend, then she goes home and eats a pint of ice cream. Like that whole
tired
thing.
Stereotype.
Very tired. Very tired.
Exhausted.
Just like the fiery Latina. Like, to move on. Let's find new things, guys. Jeez.
I thought it was really interesting that she was in the hot seat because if you're in the hot seat, that means that you're in consideration for The Bachelorette.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yes.
I would watch Nicole. She's like another Annalise. She'd
yeah, that's
cry
true.
Every damn
yeah,
second.
That's true. Yeah, and she would fall in love.
I love her on Instagram.
I need to follow her more.
I know.
Pay attention
yeah,
to her
she
more.
Has like cute content, but I never read her actual captions. But she has like nice pictures up and stuff.
Yeah, she has great food content.
Oh, okay. She's in Miami. They got good food down there. So yeah, let's see if her name is in the running or
that would be such an exciting turn of events.
Right. I would definitely watch that over who's next in the hot seat, which is Hannah B.
Oh, God.
Jesus. So we get her recap. We see her whack-ass one-on-one dates, which will go down as one of the worst one-on-ones I've ever seen. We get all her little moments with Colton, including telling him that she was falling in love with him, and then getting rejected with Colton's, you know, classic, I appreciate hearing that, and I need you to leave right now. So, in the hot seat, Hannah is talking about, you know, being blindsided, and talks about, you know, her pressure to be perfect, you know, growing up as a pageant girl, and then her whole little soliloquy of, like, you know, deserving love and someone, you know, should choose me no matter what, and, you know, all that good bachelor bid. Bachelor bid script.
And the people who she was around, right, who, like, fell in love with her boyfriend from college and then started spitting out babies, isn't that what she was talking about, yeah. Right? She's like, I deserve so much more, which I thought was a little offensive. To those girls who choose to be housewives.
Right.
Okay. That's a fine choice as well.
Right. She's from Alabama. That's literally her whole friend group. Girl, don't be on her friends.
Thinking the whole time.
Yeah. Lord. So yeah, she did her little bachelorette bid, and Chris Harrison gave her a glass of champagne and allowed her to redo her toast after that abysmal performance on her one-on-one date. And yeah, that's pretty much it. What are your thoughts on Hannah B, Ashley? I'm so curious.
Well, she definitely got the bachelorette glow up, and that's always the person who looks the most different than they did on the season. And they straightened her hair, her makeup looked good.
She did look good.
Like, her bone structure looked different.
Yeah. One thing I will say, like, that I learned, I think, from reading her Instagram is that while she was on this season, she was going through a round of Accutane, which I have to say, like, I really respect her for even going on TV while you're doing that, because that is acne. The worst thing your skin can go through.
Yes!
Damn, she didn't time that right at all.
No, now I feel bad for clowning her.
Yeah, you definitely talked about her.
Because I have, like, a fucking 8K TV, so I can see these girls. I feel like I'm in the room with them. And they would zoom into her pores, and I would see all, everything. Everything. Thailand,
and I think
Vietnam.
That's why I learned about it, because she was like, I think someone asked her why she didn't wear makeup sometimes.
Yeah.
And she said it was because her skin, like, she was in so much pain sometimes, she just had to let her skin breathe.
Oh my God, Hannah.
Yeah. Accutane is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
No joke. Because it, like, purges your skin first. Like, it makes it worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. It's, like, literally cracking all the time.
Oh my God.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So she definitely got the glow up. She looked amazing.
Oh, yeah.
She really did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hair was different. You said her bone structure.
Her face. Because you know how I said she looked old at first, but I guess because her skin was probably dried out. It was like, damn, Accutane.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, bless Hannah B. She still gets on my last nerves.
The last one.
I can't. She, to me, is just so mediocre. I can't recall a single ounce of depth that I received from her on the season. She added some comedic relief. She had little goofy jokes. She has that cute little accent.
Mm-hmm.
Cute to some.
Mm-hmm.
And people love it. They find it endearing and all that. But she does nothing for me. She does nothing for me. I can't. And she's young. I don't want to watch this as Bachelorette. I can't. Yeah.
Mm-mm. That's my main thing, is she's young.
Yes, very young. Mm-hmm. Young. This is not like Becca M, 22-year-old young. This is like a literal 23-year-old just graduated from college.
Yes.
That kind of young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Next in the hot seat was Kaylin. So with Kaylin, we recap her time, including her as also getting blindsided at the end. And on the couch, she was just bawling, like...
Yeah, she was really emotional.
Yeah, still, like, feels so deeply for Colton.
I guess so.
I guess. So we talk about her, her leaving, or her getting kicked to the curb, basically. But we talked a bit about, they didn't go too much in depth, about her decision to share her story of her sexual assault that she went through in college. And with Kaylin... Definitely by the end, she seemed hella dubious to me.
Uh-huh.
Her intentions, motives, all that jazz. Yeah. But I will still always stand by her for that moment that she helped,
mm-hmm.
not help, that she created on The Bachelor, of, like, let's have this conversation right on national television, mm-hmm. so women around the world and country who are watching this can hear about this.
And men.
And men as well. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that, creating that space in this show that oftentimes is very vapid.
Yeah. On purpose.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say that's kind of weird about her being so emotional about Colton still, though, is mm-hmm. that her and Cassie are, like, literally best friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
That is
but, yeah, weird. No. I think I'll forever be mad that I feel like, listen, I'm sure she has done these really, like, dubious things during the show, but I feel like she's gotten especially bad edit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And at the expense of Hannah B. becoming Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me.
Yeah. Yes, agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
She, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But watching this 23-year-old girl talking about, like, losing her soulmate was just so ridiculous and just...
so ridiculous.
Further confirmed why I can't watch Hannah B. either, because she was like, I've been waiting for my partner for so long. I'm like, how long?
How long?
Like, how long could you... 10 months,
five
maybe?
Years?
Right. You've only been of dating age for the past, like, 5-6 years. What you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. But I do agree that she did get, like, a shit edit.
I would rather watch... I mean, as questionable as she turned out to be in the end, like, I would rather watch her as Bachelorette.
100%.
Than Hannah B.
Yeah, I would definitely watch Caitlyn as Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's messy.
And she brought something to the show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and she brought a good platform to the show.
Good platform to the show and made it something a little bit more than just, we're watching The Bachelor and let's not talk about anything of substance.
Yeah.
So.
I would rather Caitlyn than someone who tries to be a perfectionist all the time.
Yeah.
Right.
And who admits it, who literally sat on stage and said, I am been trained to be perfect.
Yeah.
This perma style is just training, like, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Will she be on Paradise? I don't know. This might be the last we see Caitlyn.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think of the villains of the past, like, Corinne.
Yeah.
Because I guess she was, like, the villain.
Caitlyn, I wouldn't really call her a villain.
I don't know.
Everyone was a villain this season.
Yeah. Everybody this season was really shitty and had something, some scandal, some drama that came out about them that... I don't know. But yeah, she... I feel like she was someone that we were hoping would... not even just we, but just like Bachelor Nation was hoping, given the platform and the whole her whole message with her sexual assault story that she sold... That she sold? That she told.
Sold!
Sorry. It's late. I said told. That she told. That we were going to see more from her. Maybe even be a more realistic choice for The Bachelorette. But mm-hmm. I think that got... That definitely got ended with the drama on the stage tonight with Katie.
Yep.
For sure.
Mm, yep.
Yeah, that died right then and there. So finally, we're now, it's literally like 9:45.
Oh my God.
And Colton finally comes out.
Out of the shower. Allegedly.
Out of the shower. Yeah. He looks super tan. Something was going on with his hair.
Something weird. Ashley, did you notice?
Was it darker? Was it longer?
His hair?
Yeah.
I think that he's kind of realized when he wears his hair up, his hairline looks a little bit like it's receding.
Yeah.
Even though it's not, I think he just has like a weird hairline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's realized that if he wears it down and out instead of up, it just makes his face look different.
That's what it was. Mm-hmm. It was combed downward.
Uh-huh.
He usually has it kind of like flaked up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Men are sensitive about that hairline.
Yeah, hairline.
They would rather their hair look shitty.
All right. To show that receding hairline.
Yep.
Lord. So Colton comes out. Demi, she has a little something to say to him. She says, you know, looking back, I can tell you wanted to lead someone and I was leading you. Who was Colton leading or even trying to lead?
Yeah, I don't know
what she was talking about. I was very perplexed. Colton wants to lead someone? I think Colton's looking for a woman to lead him.
To lead him.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, Demi was just, like, so aggressive.
Yeah,
and, like, a bit much, so I don't think he needs that level, but I think he definitely is looking for someone who he can kind of, like, ride in their coattails a bit.
I loved her fantasy suite comment, though.
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
That was funny.
I mean, playing. She literally called herself promiscuous. Like, she claimed that word for herself.
Yep.
Little Demi. Demi had me cracking up, though, when she stood up and said to Colton, I want to introduce you to someone. Have you met Courtney?
Oh my god.
That had me out. That was just, she just kept going. She just had to, Courtney's so easy.
Yep. And that's how you create a moment.
Mm-hmm. That's how you create a moment. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And the audience is on her side, so she does that. Cheers and stuff. Kaylin gets to talk to Colton. Kaylin, she's still bawling. She's still a little
still crying.
Still crying. Colton said he feels bad because he didn't really give her any closure.
Yeah.
Which is true. He didn't
say anything
to her, really, when she was leaving. I think one thing that him and Cassie have in common is they both don't really know how to break up with people properly.
Huh. Yes. True.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. You truly left Kaylin hanging.
Yeah, like, he really did. Right after he asked her dad
for hand in marriage. And he gave the approval, and you gave the rose to somebody whose father did not give two shits about you. And who also, at that time, Cassie still hadn't told him how she felt.
No.
And she sent home, he sent home Cassie's best friend, basically. Mm-hmm. So, he still didn't really give her much closure, so I don't know.
I didn't really hear anything. He was talking, but I didn't hear anything, so.
And then we got Sydney, who asked him the question everybody's dying to know right now, is if you're still a virgin. And we obviously, of course, did not get an answer.
No.
They kind of, like, danced around the question, and they talked about, like, sexual innuendos, but we didn't learn if he's a virgin. What do y'all think?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Damn.
Damn, actually. He's a virgin until he gets married.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, wow. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, he waited this long. Why not? Shit.
Right, at this point.
Yeah. Might as well.
When it's not, I feel like too with Cassie, like if her parents are already that freaked out about her getting married that soon, I feel like it's also going to take her a while to have sex with Colton.
I think so. It's so public.
I know.
Right.
Yeah, it's so public now. It's like, ugh, it's bizarre.
That's the worst. That's so much pressure on their first time. It's going to be awful.
It's going to be terrible.
Yeah, horrible.
It's going to be terrible. All that shit he said about it being the best thing she's ever felt, like,
oh, no,
he needs to get over that real quick.
He's going to be stop.
Terrible for both of them.
Yeah. Oh. I have theories. I can't say I'm on the mic.
Oh, God. So then Chris Harrison asks Colton about this infamous jumping the fence. And Colton said, he said, when I hopped over, there was nobody on the other side, and it was one of the best feelings. Oh, my God. It's like he finally got some alone time away from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ashley, when you were in the house, I mean, I can only imagine how it just must feel so suffocating.
For sure. And you really can't get out for any reason.
Oh, my God.
Like, even at the house, there was, like, a spot down this, like, kind of, like, concrete hill that people would run up and down for exercise. And they would make you go with another person. Like, you could never go just by yourself.
So the only time you had alone time was literally when you went to the bathroom.
Yes. And you were still mic'd when you went to the bathroom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You just have to be like, hey, I'm about to use the bathroom.
They, like, turn it off or whatever.
Yeah, wow. Hopefully.
So Colton really felt, like, free.
Yeah.
He hopped that fence and felt pure freedom. He was running to freedom. Dang.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I thought that was very telling when he said that. Just, it makes you realize how tough this show is. Like, he's literally living in a vacuum, living under a microscope, has people all around him at all times, and none of whom are his family or friends or anybody with his good interests.
Exactly, that's what he realized, and so he had to just leave.
Jesus. He did make a good point also saying that, like, just because you're the bachelor doesn't mean that people, like, your contestants will automatically like you back. Which, I mean, he proved with four girls sending themselves home.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
But that is true. That's something that we have to remember, is, like, just because he's a bachelor doesn't mean that. I think that's something that makes the show weird, is, like, girls go into the show, it could be Colton, it could have been Nick Viall, and they're just so ready to fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then there's girls like Elise who went in the show and they're like, I don't click with you. I'm going home.
Yeah. Mm.
And so you can see the difference in the types of girls on the show. Like the ones who just go there to fall in love with anybody. And then the ones who are going there to really assess if this guy is for them or not.
Right.
And who really takes it seriously. So I'm glad they brought that up.
Yeah, addressed that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we saw some bloopers. We did get a sneak peek of next week's two-part finale. We see again Colton jumping the fence, and then we see when they finally catch up with him and him just repeating that he's done, like he's literally quitting in this instance. We get footage of Colton meeting up with his dad. We got footage of Colton chatting with Chris Harrison and them trying to like decide what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Because Cassie Stranger. Has left,
yeah,
and he literally told the world that she was the one.
Mm-hmm.
Tasia's sitting in the
making scrapbooks
and shit.
Oh my god!
In her villa, and Hannah G's still getting ready for this one.
I feel so bad for Hannah G.
Horribly for Hannah G.
So bad for Hannah G. Oh my god. And we see Hannah G in her confessional talking about how she's ready to tell him that she loves him.
Like, I love him.
Has no idea what's going down. And then we see Colton knocking on someone's door, which I'm presuming is
hopefully it's Hannah
G.
They can get her ass home.
I know, that's so sad.
Oh my gosh.
That's so sad though, because she thinks he's knocking to take her on the date and he's knocking to send her ass home.
Yeah.
Like, that is the worst. And that was the episode, guys. Do you have any predictions, Ashley? Now, I don't know if you know the ending already. We don't know. So
I won't. Well, I mean, even Reality Steve doesn't have that many spoilers for the ending.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, good.
So it's hard to even be spoiled for this just because there's a lot of blanks he hasn't filled in.
Mm, wow. So people really don't know what the hell's about to go down.
Interesting.
But I just feel like, you know, I mean, Colton already said he really isn't, he doesn't see the other two girls being at the end with him.
Yeah.
So but Cassie was kind of his.
Mm-hmm. One and only.
Yeah. So I don't even know how he can continue with this. I think that he'll just break it off with Tayshia and Hannah G.
Jeez.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen, Justine?
I'm trying to figure out, because I do agree with you, Ashley, that he's just going to break up with them. And I do think he's going to be on that mountaintop by his damn self. Maybe he'll give himself a nice watch in that little box. But I don't know how they're going to space that amongst two episodes.
Yeah.
Like, there's two episodes worth of content to watch.
Something
happens. So something goes down. Like, something happens. I just don't know what that thing is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think he leaves with an engagement.
Yeah, no. I'm predicting that Cassie comes back.
Mm.
I don't know what she's going to say or what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to end in him proposing to her.
No.
But I'm going to predict that she has not left Portugal just yet. And is going to have, like, a change of heart or something. She, as she left, she kept saying, I don't know.
Yeah, she did.
Still has idea what the hell she's doing. So I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't make an appearance again.
Yeah. So. And she doesn't have to say much. He just goes with whatever. With
oh, her. Yeah. She can come back and say, you know, I still don't know. But, and he's like, all right, let's go. Like, he'll take anything. He, at this point, just wants to breathe her air again. Like,
no.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
And yeah, it will be a two-parter next week finale.
Yeah.
And that's the episode, guys. Ashley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Happy to come on anytime.
Thank you. Great to talk to you. We'll be back, guys, next week for the two-part finale. We will be posting one mega recap episode, which will go up on Friday. So mark your calendars. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Mm-hmm. Definitely subscribe so you can get that notification when the episode is ready and posted. And hit us up on Twitter, the number 2 BLK Girls, the number 1 Rose. We'll be live tweeting that finale next week.
Mm-hmm. And email us at the number 2 Black Girls, the number 1 Rose at gmail.com. Facebook and IG are the number 2 Black Girls, the number 1 Rose.
Yep, tag senior story, and we'll be back next week, y'all.
Yep.
All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.